where this one's been cooking for quite some time. Andrew's mentioned it a few times as he's been giving his words and speaking to us. And it came about, this particular message, from something that I was reading in Word for Today around about February time. And it just captured my imagination as I dwelt on it for some time. And what it said in Word for Today was, it was talking about how God was wanting us to soar like eagles, and God wants eagles, and all he'd got sometimes were parrots. So I started to think about, you know, what is he talking about here? What's the relationship between eagles and parrots? You're thinking, the Word tells us that we've got to mount up on wings like eagles. And yet, in this Word for Today, it was saying that God's wanting us to be like eagles, but all he's got is parrots. So think about what parrots do, and they quote everything parrot fashion, don't they? It doesn't come out of their minds, it comes out of what they've heard somebody else say, or they're mimicking somebody else. It's not something that they've got for themselves, but it's a copy of what somebody else has got. And God's not looking for parrots, he's not looking for what somebody else has said or done, he's looking at you, and he's wanting you to mount up on wings like eagles. If you could just read Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, which is where this tells us about mounting up on wings like eagles. Isaiah 40 verse 31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Those that wait on the Lord. You don't go rushing around, you wait on the Lord. We've been hearing a lot about how we want to worship here, and we do, we want to worship God. And as we worship him, we want to soar into his presence like we do with the eagles, mounting up on wings like eagles. So how do we mount up on wings like eagles then? What do eagles do that we don't know about? So I've been looking at the life of eagles. I've been looking on the internet, I've been looking at some books. My mother's husband's got quite a few bird books. I've been nicking them and taking them back over the last couple of months. And I've been looking generally at what the life of eagles. And I've tried to put it in some sort of sequence of its lifestyle. Now, a male eagle, when he's about 4 years old, starts to look for a mate. So when he starts looking for a mate, when he finds a female, he starts flying. But he starts flying after her. She'll fly in a figure eight, and he chases her. And he goes, you know, flying through the air like they do. And eventually she'll swoop down to the ground and she'll pick up some twigs. And then she'll fly back up to about 10,000 feet. And she'll carry on maintaining this path and he's following her. Then at some point she'll drop this twig and then he has to dive and catch it. So you can imagine what's going on, can't you? There's this little female eagle flying around. She drops this twig, this male eagle goes charging after to catch it. Aren't men not attentive when they're trying to get the female? So this man, he goes charging around and he picks this twig up and he carries it back to her. And she ignores him. And then she flies back down and she picks something up a little bit bigger. And over the next few days, this goes on, this running backwards and forwards. And each time she's getting a bigger and bigger branch, or it starts from twigs and until she gets branches. And it goes on for a few days, and after a while she actually gets a branch that's heavier than him. Now the male eagles usually are smaller than the females, so she's got no problem picking it up. And so she gets this thing and she'll catch it, but instead of going to 10,000 feet with this really heavy one, she'll only go to about 500 feet. So he has to dive and catch it. Now, if it's going to be heavier than him, and it's only 500 feet high, it's going to be travelling pretty fast, so he's got to be on his toes. If he wants to catch his female eagle, he's got to be aware of what's going on. So she drops this branch, and if he catches it, this final branch, this really heavy one, if he catches it, the courtship ensues. But if he misses it, at any point, if he misses these branches or twigs that she drops, she just flies off and leaves him. She doesn't hang around, she just goes. She ups and offs. Now, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how he saw the need to share his life with somebody else. And when he was following her, he wasn't doing what he wanted to do. Like I say, very attentive when they're trying to catch the female. And so he was very, very attentive. He followed her. He wanted to see, you know, wherever she went, he was there, watching and waiting, being prepared so that he was in the right place at the right time. When that branch was dropped, he was there ready. He was there ready to catch it. And we need to be there ready to catch what God's got for us. It's not enough just to, you know, follow the crowd. We need to be following what God's got for us. And it was easy, you know, it's easy to go our own way, but it's not our way, it's God's way that we're looking for today. And as we get into a relationship with him, as we're wanting to follow him, we want to do that. Now, when he took these twigs back and she ignored him, that was a nice opportunity, weren't it? Can you, you know what's going to happen, don't you? You do something nice for somebody and you know, they'll drop something and you go running back to them, oh, you've dropped this, and you ignore them, they're going to think, well, stuff you then. You know, don't want to know if you can't be bothered, why should I be? And it would have been easy for him to get offended and for him to take off. But he'd set his heart on getting his female. And we've got to set our heart on what we're doing in worship and praise. And we'll be able to tell which of us are really, really committed and which ones of us really want to move forward, because we're the ones that's going to be here. And when we find out how, and we find out where we are going in worship, we're going to develop into the people that God created us to be. Because we were created to worship him. We weren't created to do what we want to do. We were created to do what he wanted to do. So the other thing is that the eagle had to be persistent at this time. Didn't think, I'm getting bored with this, and give up the chase. He had to persist. And it was a situation that kept on going. So as I said, then after they've gone through this phase of the courtship, the next phase that they go through, again, it involves flying pretty high. And when you start soaring in God, you think, oh, I'm flying high, it's great. But this is the next phase that the eagle goes through. The flight, again, up to about 10,000 feet. But this, and again, the male follows the female up into the air. And now she flops over onto her back with a talon stuck up in the air. And the male eagle flies above her, locks onto her talons, and the spin towards the earth. And while they're spinning, they're like croak at each other, and it's been alluded to as like singing a song to each other, maybe a little romantic number that they've got together there. But at this point, they're making a commitment to each other that this is for life. I will not let you go. It's like marriage today. When we go through the wedding ceremony, it's a lot of them, it's that we had in the past. Nearly every one of them, it was marriage was from till death us do part. Today, it's until I find somebody else, or until I can't be bothered to pursue this thing. Yeah. It's not in sickness and in health. It's until you get sick, then I'm off. It's not, you know, for richer, for poorer. It's for richer or I'm off. And that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for commitment, not only in our personal lives, but in our relationship with him. It's okay being a Christian and doing what God's wanting us to do, and then the road starts getting a bit rocky and we think, oh well, stuff it, I'm off, I've had enough, I'm quitting, I've had enough, I'm going to have a little bit of time off. But what we've got to do is we've got to lock, as it were, lock talons with God. We've got to grasp onto him so tightly that just as he says to us, I'll never let you go, we say to him, I will not let you go. Whatever it takes, Lord. A number of years ago we had a meeting at Andrews, and a lot of us that were there said at the time that at any point you like, Andrew, whatever it takes, if you see something in our lives, if you see that we're going the wrong way, if you see something that's causing a problem for the fellowship or in our lives, whatever it takes, you let us know. Whatever it takes. And we are not to be offended when he comes and tells us that we've got something that's not cooking. It's being given in the right spirit, we must take it in the right spirit. Ultimately, it's for our good. And a lot of times we that locked up with ourselves, that we forget that we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is to worship God. Amen. We're not even here for each other. We're here to worship God. There is a point where we're here to help each other, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't. We are here to support each other, but our primary purpose is to worship God. That is why we're created, and that is our first function, is to worship God. So we do need to get stuck in and find out more about what worship it is. And we need to really be like that with God. If I look at Romans 8, verses 35 to 39... Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When everything's going wrong, stay with it. Hang on. It's not over. It's not over till it's over. And it's not over until you come out victorious at the other side. We are more than conquerors. A conqueror is somebody that wins. But we are more than winners. We're super conquerors. Think Superman's got it made? It's done nothing to what we can do. We are more than conquerors. So when everything's going wrong, hang on, it's not over. There will come a time when you will start soaring. You need to start soaring again. And it's only as we start soaring that we get something. As I said earlier on, the eagle, it mates. When it finds a mate, he hangs on to her. And just like we are intended to mate for life, the eagle does. It mates for life. And just like we are with God, when we come to God, it's for life. It's not until, you know, I get fed up, or it's not until the road gets heavy, or it's not until my needs are not being met as I want them to be met. It's all, you know, it's a commitment to God all the time. And some folk only want to know you when you're soaring. It's a fact of life. Some people only want to know you when you're going through, you know, when you're having a good time, when everything's running smoothly. And they don't want to know you when things are hard and when you're having problems, because they don't want to get involved. They only want to know you when things are going well. And we need to watch for that for ourselves. And think about each other and, you know, pay a lot of attention. I mean, I was speaking to Grace the other day, I think it was, about I've been ill myself for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I've not been around very much. And yet, and this isn't a criticism of you, but it's just an observation. In that 4 weeks, people from work were on the phone nearly every day and dropping by the house. I had one or two texts from church, but if I was to think about which group of people were believers at that time, I'd have to say the people from work. Because the people from work were the ones on the phone, there were people from work were the people dropping in. And it's something that I need to be aware of myself, because I know when people are ill, I don't always ring them up. But it's being having a care and a consideration for each other sometimes. Because it's easy to, you know, get caught up in what you're doing yourself. And we've all got problems. I mean, you know, we all get busy, don't we? But yet it's been a little bit thinking about other people as well, and being committed to each other and being committed to God. Because God, we've got to give God our attention all the time. And it's easy to, you know, get caught up with things of your everyday life and forget about God and think, well, I'll do this and I'll come back to God later. No, you don't. You do God's bit first. You put God first in every avenue of your life. And then these things that you know, the other things, they'll become less strenuous for you and life will be a lot easier to go through. So, the other thing about the male eagle is he's very, very attentive. We've been hearing the other week, Andrew was on about blowing kisses to God. And the male eagle is attentive to his female. He'll bring her little twigs and little stuff, you know, like bringing her flowers, I guess. And a male eagle's also been seen when she's on the nest, you know, to cover her with his feathers and, you know, like stroke her. We've not got the monopoly on affection for one another. And we need to show some affection to each other and some affection to God. Once we've got this relationship with God, we need to, you know, build it up and make it move forward. So now we've got the eagle's got his relationship established, and then it starts thinking about raising a family. So before it starts with a family, of course, it's got to build a nest. Now, some eagles' nests have been found to be made with branches that can be as big as 6 feet long. How they carry these things? But then again, some eagles are quite big. They're not little diddy birds, you know, eagles. They are quite big things. And there are records of some nests being as much as 2 tons in weight. So we're not talking about a little piddling thing. We're talking about something that has been taking time to prepare. The eagle hasn't got its young yet, but it's preparing for them, so it's building its nest. They can be 15 to 20 feet deep and about 8 to 10 feet wide. So a lot of effort goes into preparing this nest. And it's like families when you're creating a home, whether you've got children or not, you put some effort into creating your home. You don't just buy a house and chuck anything in it. You do the best you can so that you've got somewhere nice to live. And the eagle does exactly the same. And as she's preparing the nest with the intention of raising a family, she'll start pulling feathers out of her breast and lining the nest. When you've got children, you know it's going to cause you some pain in your chest, don't you? They give you some heartache sometimes. And raising a family sometimes can be a painful experience, but yet it has its rewards. And it's your planning and stuff like that that goes into it. And it says we're planning our relationship with God. Sometimes he'll put his finger on something and it's painful. It's like, oh God, no. And yet, ultimately, it's for our good and it's to make a better place so that we're in a better place and a better situation with him. And of course, it's built on the rock. The rock is underneath the nest. It's round about the nest. It's all over the nest. And our lives too shall be built on the rock. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 tells us that our rock is Christ. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it says that they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This alludes to the children of Israel when they were walking round under the cloud and all that. But we need to build our lives on Christ. If our foundation for our life, if our plans and purposes are rooted on anything other than what Jesus has done for us or what God wants for us, if any of our desires are not ultimately bound up in him, if the plans and purposes that we've got planned out for our lives are not godly plans and purposes, you've got no business having them. Our rock is Christ, and we build our lives on him. Somewhere, I don't know exactly where the scripture is, but there is a scripture that tells you to build your house on the rock. Don't build your house on the sand. Matthew 6. So you need to build your lives with a solid foundation, and the solid foundation is the rock, Christ Jesus. Anything else, it's a waste of time. So we've got our nest, we've got our mum and dad eagle, we've got our nest, and now we want some babies. So, excuse me, we start off and we get ourselves some little eaglets. Now, the eaglet, when it's first born, of course, it arrives in the nest in the form of an egg. And inside that little egg, the little eaglet starts to grow. Do you know how he gets out of that egg? Does Grace turn up with a mighty spoon and bang it hard and there you go? She can do that. Does anybody come up to the nest and crack open the egg? Does a lumberjack turn up with a saw? No. The eaglet is born as a result, in a lot of respects, of its own efforts and of its own struggle and its own actions in getting out of that egg. We hear about how butterflies, if they're in the cocoon coming out, if you help that butterfly out of that cocoon, the butterfly will not be fully formed, it'll be a weakling, and it'll probably flop over and die. It needs to go through that struggle to grow and to develop. So you've got to be persistent. So the little eaglet's in there going tap, 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 tap. And you might be thinking, I'm fed up reading all this tapping. But it's got to be persistent, and it's got to keep on tapping. Don't help it, because it's got to go through this to build up its strength. If it doesn't build up its strength, the moment it's born, it's going to be devoured, because it's not going to be strong enough to survive, and it's going to end up being devoured by something else. And it needs to grow. And going on from something that said that Andrew was saying earlier on today about people having, you know, more money but less happiness today. A lot of people, you know, today will kid you on and say that, you know, children today, they have it hard. The pigging well don't. Kids today are soft. They've got it too easy. When we were at school, I mean, I'm only 50 myself. When I was at school and I saw the children at school in my class, we weren't what we'd call poverty stricken, but we didn't have anything financially. The parents used to provide for the families, but they didn't have more than enough. I mean, I've told some of you before, I was 10 years old before I ever got new clothes on my own. There were always jumble sales, and most of my classmates were in the same boat. It wasn't that we were particularly poor, because as a family, although we'd not got much money, because my dad, bless him, used to smoke and drink it all away, but we didn't have much money, and we had it difficult, and yet we didn't have a bad life. And yet today, when you look at the kids at school, the majority of them, they've all got designer clothes, they've got the latest stuff. Designers. So they've got, yes, some of them. But they've got the latest gear, they've got the latest equipment. They get most of what money can buy. But it's like we've just said, what they need is not what money buys. And a lot of kids today, they are growing up soft. I would not employ most of the kids that go through my classrooms. And yet when I was at school, the majority of my friends that were in my year group, with probably very few exceptions, would have I expected not to have been able to hold down a job and do a decent job. But today, young people are not being taught by parents to look after themselves. I'm not criticising you guys, because I know you guys are different. But you know that generally speaking, what we're talking about, think about the people that you're at school with. When we were 15 year old, we went out to work. And at 15 year old today, I wouldn't trust some of the youngsters, you know, to take me, just been to Topper Hill, you know, because I wouldn't expect them to do a good job, because unfortunately today they're not being trained in the things that are important to make them move forward in life. And it's part of it's parental's fault, part of it's government fault, but ultimately it's because we're getting away from the word. It's because they're not being brought up with responsibility. The first part of our school motto, in fact our school motto, which was re-established last year, is respect, motivate and challenge. And I had hours of fun with our head of lower school saying that I wanted respect to be first. And he said, but they need to be challenged. I said, if they're not respectful, they're not going to be listening to you to be challenged. And we've got the Danham School's motto is respect, motivate and challenge. Respect comes first. And if respect comes for God first in our lives, everything else will fall nicely into place. But ultimately, it's born out of respect and a discipline in our lives. So our eaglet's coming out of its shell. It's getting its little breakthrough. But inside that shell as well, to bring it into some sort of perspective for ourselves, it's like a lonely place, isn't it? You're on your own in that shell. You've got to break out. You're on your own. You've got nobody to help you. Because if somebody helps you, you're not going to get the strength that you need to carry on in life. So you're in that private place. And our breakthrough sometimes comes by spending time on our own with God and getting through and pushing through and making it happen with God for us. Only God knows what we need to move us forward. Only God knows what the path is that we need to take. And so we need to spend time in a private place seeking God for ourselves. It's great to come together and to worship together and to move forward together, which is what we're going to do on Wednesday. But if we're not going to prepare in private, if we're not going to build ourselves up, we cannot live from meeting to meeting. There's got to be more to it than that. In fact, I dare to go as far as to say you can't live from day to day. living from moment to moment, we should consciously be aware of God's presence all the time. There are times when His name's not going to be foremost in our uppermost in our thoughts, but ultimately, if anything happens, then as we're going around in our daily lives, we should be constantly brought back to thinking about God and our relationship with Him. We're back to this blowing kisses business. I know I've been having a bit of a laugh with it myself at home. I've been, you know, when things have cropped up, and I thought, hey Jesus, guess what? That one's for you. And there is an aspect about that that's sort of freeing. It's because you're actually going through the motions of it. You're bringing God to your, and Jesus to your attention. It's doing something to your own spirit. Because you're establishing some sort of relationship. You're establishing your thoughts. And even if you don't feel like it, and it feels like a foreign thing for you to do, and it's not really you, trust me, it's not really me. These will tell you. I mean, going back to when I first met him, if you wanted a hug, you were coming to the wrong person because you weren't about to get one. Smack in the nose, perhaps, but certainly wouldn't have been getting any hugs. Because that just wasn't the way. But as God develops in our lives, He changes you. And now we've got a little campaign, haven't we, Luke? Because now Luke has to give me hugs, because Luke's not going down the path that I had to go down. Luke's going to be free, aren't you, sweetheart? And the thing is, he responds. And it's not because it's pressured, it's because there's a genuine love, and there's a genuine concern. I want to see him free. And he wants to be free, and that's how it's going to be. But you can't force the issues with people. People have got to be willing to come with you. Because if you start foisting your attentions on people when they don't want it, you're going to turn them away. So you've also got to be careful when you're trying to help somebody and when you're trying to make sure that, you know, you encourage somebody to be free, that you don't sort of suffocate them and push them away, because that's also a danger. And it's just developing and being sensitive. Because the other thing about the eaglet growing, things when we were going through, at times we had a mighty move of God in our young people's group. And God was doing amazing things. And yet there were people, older people in the fellowship, you would, oh, leave him alone. Oh, don't worry about what he says. It'll be all right. You don't need to go through that. And they stopped them going through the stuff that God was doing. God was quickening them and giving them some pain in the hearts to change their lives. And yet older people in the fellowship were saying, oh, now, there, love. It'll be all right. Don't listen to him. And that was the wrong thing to do. You do listen to people. Well, even if you disagree with them, you need to hear what they've got to say. Because it might well be that what God's saying to you through that person is what you want to hear, because you won't listen to God because He's been trying to tell you for weeks. But whenever He brings it up, you think, oh no, He's not really saying that, He's saying this. So we need to be careful. Sometimes it's harder to watch people going through difficult situations. But we sometimes have to stand back and watch them go through it. Because if you butt in and help, you can quite easily destroy what God's doing. And at times we need to shut up, stop interfering, and stop being a hindrance to what God's wanting to do. Sometimes we do need to get involved, sometimes we don't. We need to be sensitive. And we'll only find out how to operate, and we'll only find out what to do if we ourselves listen to God. Because God will put you in the right way, and God will tell you what you need to do. Anyway, we're going back to the nest now. Talking to Andrew on the phone the other night, and he's like, ooh, there's a cuckoo. And there was a cuckoo on the TV. We'd got the same TV program on. I turned the sound off so that I could speak to him, and I'm on the phone, I'm thinking, he's got the same program on as me. So I was listening to his TV at my house, and he'd got the baby cuckoo. Now the baby cuckoo was being fed by this little thing. We think it was a sparrow, but I can't remember. But he was being fed by something that wasn't a cuckoo. And the mother cuckoo, of course, doesn't raise her cheeks, does she? She just, yeah, she's a lazy little thing. She puts her eggs in somebody else's nest. And I've likened this to cuckoo Christians. Happily we don't have any here, I don't think. Cuckoo Christians, they don't like work. They're sponges. They make sure that you know what they need so that you can be an answer to their prayers, in quotes. And they're just out for what they can get. They don't want to do anything. They just want to be takers. And that's absolutely no good at all. We've got to be prepared to be givers. We look after the cuckoo if it arrives in our nest, but we've got to make sure that we're not putting our stuff in somebody else's nest for somebody else to deal with. Deal with what's yours and make sure that your stuff is dealt with. Make sure that your family is right. Make sure that you see to your own family. We have responsibilities for our families, and it's easy, you know, to neglect them. A lot of us have looked after the families for many years, and so, you know, and others haven't had that the necessity to do so. But we do have responsibilities for our own families. If our families have got a need and we're not being part of the solution, we're not being very Christ-like, because ultimately we're going to be judged because we're not actually doing what we're supposed to be doing for our families. Anyway, we're still in our nest with our little baby eagles. Our little baby eagles are quite content in the nest. It's nice. Mummy's feathers, it's all nice and snug. Isn't it nice to keep bringing us food? And Mummy Eagle's flown off to go and get some food. There's a pair of eyes over there. I wonder what that is. What is it? It's a snake. Snakes like to eat little baby eagles, and snakes like to eat eagle eggs. And if the snake is going to get the eagle, the only time the snake is going to have any success is when the eagle is a baby or it's doing the egg. That reminds you of the snake today. Is he not still after killing the babies? We have got a responsibility to pray and to seek God that this accursed place in Doncaster gets shut down. We should not be supporting anything which involves killing babies. Abortion is the biggest curse of our generation. God forgive us for allowing this. But unless we stand and we pray and come against this thing, nothing's going to change, because it's the world's standards. We're not called to live by the world's standards. We're called to live by God's standards. And it's only the serpent that wants to kill the babies. The full-grown eagle, however, has got a bit of something else to say in this. When the babies, if they're sort of just curious and, you know, just watch it and let it come into the nest, and before they know what's happening they get eaten, then it's all over. But if the little eaglet's smart, she'll start kicking up a fuss, and she'll start squawking and belly aching and kicking up such a noise that mother eagle will think trouble at mill. So she comes soaring back to the nest, and lo and behold, there's a snake in my nest. What does she do? Well, she does one or two things. One of the things that she can do is she can fly down, she'll swoop down, she'll pick it up in her talons, she'll soar right nice and high up, and then she'll just go bing and drop it on the rocks. And that doesn't only give the snake a headache, it usually finishes him off. I wouldn't like to be dropped on the rocks, but sometimes, you know, we get dropped on the rock Christ Jesus, don't we? And sometimes it's painful, but it's for our good. Unlike the snake, though, we recover. The other thing that the eagle can do is that she can stomp on its head, rip it to bits, and feed it to babies. It wanted some food, but she changes it into food. And so something positive came out of that rude interruption to her flight for some food. She'd flown off to get some food, and there it was in the nest. So, you know, what the devil meant for evil, God turned for good. And he can still do that for us. Anyway, when they get to be about 12 weeks old and they start being ready to fly, Mother Eagle gets back in the nest. She gets in and she starts flapping those feathers about. And if she's flapping the wings in a nest, guess what happens to the nest? Gets a bit battered. And the little eaglet sits in the nest and it's not quite as comfortable as it used to be. It used to be so nice and cosy with my mum's feathers and all this nice stuff, and I didn't used to feel a breeze in here, and all of a sudden, what's my mother doing? Aren't mothers a nuisance? Don't they just stop you doing what you want to do? You get nice and look at these stuff. You get nice and comfortable in your nest, and then mother comes along and destroys everything. She wants you to get out and do something else. It's time to fly. You've got to get out of that nest. You can't fly if you're sort of sat comfortable in your nest. So you might find sometimes that if you don't fly willingly, that your nest gets a bit messed up, so that you end up having to get out and fly. And I was thinking about what GC said when he came over. He pointed us to a scripture in Exodus. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4. Exodus chapter 19 verse 4 says, "You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." When you've been told that you've been born on eagle's wings, you start thinking, oh great, ride. Go for a ride. Mummy's going to take me for a ride. Isn't that exciting? Wait and see what happens to it. You think it's going to be nice and comfortable and safe. But the mother eagle, when she's decided it's time that the baby started to fly, it's time that these little eaglets stretched the wings and became more independent, they hop on her back. She says, come on, hop on. Let's get out of this nest. And so they think, oh great, we're going for a ride. So she'll take them for a ride. She takes them for a ride. It's all nice and they're sort of looking out, thinking, oh, this is great. I've not done this before. This is great, this. And then she drops them. It's like, what are you doing? Get back here, mother. I can't fly. What's happening here? And they're sort of hurtling down to the earth, and it's like, flipping heck, mother, mother, mother. So she swoops down and she'll pick them back up. Bear in mind, God said this. I'm going to bear you on eagle's wings. Sometimes this is how we feel God's treating us, don't we? He just chucks us out of the nest. He takes us along so far. Everything's running nice and smoothly. Life's great, isn't it? Then all of a sudden, I'm on my own. I'm out of my depth. What do I do here? I can't cope with this. And so the eagle, the mummy eagle, goes and picks the baby up. He's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. She saved me again. So he hops back on her back, just starts feeling safe and comfortable, thinking, well, she dropped me, but she does love me. She's picked me back up again. And then she flies up in the air again. And as she's getting a bit higher up, it starts to think, you can imagine it, can't you? We've been here before. Oh, mother, not again. Mother, mother, I'm hanging on. I'm going to hang on to you this time, mother. Just in case you do. Oh, mother, you've done it again. And she drops him again. And it carries on until eventually this little eaglet understands what it's supposed to do. It flaps its wings and it flies. And it carries on. And sometimes we end up going around the same bit and same bits constantly until eventually we get the message and we start and fly. We start and build on our relationship that God's intended us to happen. That God's intended us to have. Again, a scripture that refers to this is Deuteronomy 32:11, which refers as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, spreading out its wings. So the Lord led him. So sometimes he's going to take us up in the air and drop us and encourage us to grow. And other times he's just going to spread his wings out and love us and comfort us and bless us. It's not all hard work, but by the same token, it's not all easy. Sometimes there comes a point when we have to do something and we've got to do, get out and do that. We've got to start and flap our own wings and make our own way in life. The problem with some Christians is that they never seem to grow up. They always want somebody else to pray for them, somebody else to counsel them, somebody else to do the Bible study for them. It's fine for a new convert, but when we've been growing for 2 or 3 years, we expect to be showing some sort of growth. An eaglet is fully independent usually by the time it's 12 months old. And yet, how many baby Christians do you know that's 10, 15, 20 years old and they still need others to pray for them? They still need others to help and support them because they can't, you know, they're finding that they can't do it themselves. We need to learn to feed ourselves on the Word of God. I read a lot of books and tapes are fine. But only babies are constantly fed by other people. We need to get into the Word for ourselves. We need to get into the Word and find out what God's saying to us. In some respects, if you're getting all your sustenance from a book or a tape or wherever you're getting it from, if all your spiritual sustenance is coming from somebody else, you're not feeding yourself, you're not an eagle. You're not an eagle Christian. We need to be able to feed ourselves on the Word. And when we get it from God, it's usually more blessing. I've really been encouraged and blessed while I've been trying to find out about these eagles over the last 2 or 3 months. And as I've spoken to Grace and Andrew about, you know, the latest thing that I've discovered, I've said, hey, guess what I've found out now? You know, and it more or less preaches itself because of its relationship with the rocks and, you know, things like that. It more or less preaches itself, this. It's not something that you have to spend a lot of time dwelling on, because just about all I'm saying, you're probably thinking about it before I've said it. So we need to spend some time with God for ourselves. If it means unplugging your phone, turning your television off, do it, and learn to fly. Spread your wings and get into the heights for yourself. Get into God's presence, because that's the only place that, you know, we're going to really reap any benefits. And that's where we want to be. We want to get into His presence. We want to get into His face. We want to be up there. It's not about what we can get materially down here. It's not about getting our needs met. It's about getting up and getting in God's face. And that's when we'll start to live. That's when we really will start and find what's going on. We'll get some vision for our lives. Eagles can see for about 2 miles. And if they want to see further, they just fly further up. They just fly higher. And you know that for yourself, if you stand on top of a wall, you'll see further. If you stand on top of a cliff, you'll see further still. If you want to go to some of the places we've been to in the States, you get up into these big, big buildings, these high towers, you can see even further. If you could soar on the wings of an eagle and get even higher in the sky, get onto your aeroplane, you can see further still. The higher you get, the better you see, the clearer your vision. And if you want a clear vision, you want to know what your vision is, get yourselves into God's face. Get yourself closer to God. That's the only way to do it. Find out what God's got for your life. Once your eagle's got its eye on its target as well, nothing's going to distract it. But once it's got focused on its target, that's it. It's as good as dead. It'll make sure that it gets the target. Nothing's going to distract him. We used to have a youth leader that used to have an eagle eye. When once he decided it was your turn, nothing would distract him. Might not be looking at you, but eagle eye used to get there, didn't you? And so we used to find that the eagle, when once it's got its eye, that's it. It's homing in. And it gets there. It gets to its prey. And it makes sure that it gets there. Don't get entangled with other stuff. Doesn't look all over the place. It sees where it wants to go, and it goes for that. When a farmer's ploughing a field, he wants straight for us. It fixes a point, and it looks at that point as he drives there. Doesn't follow the last track. It looks at the place in the distance, and it follows that target. If we get too busy for God, we're too busy. I was telling somebody the other week that personally, in my own life, I'd found that through circumstances, most evenings I'm sort of working for school, 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and I decided when I was ill that was it. I'm too busy. If I'm too busy for God, if I'm too busy for Wednesday nights, I'm too busy. And so things have got to change. Unless I'm ill or unable to come, I shall be here. Because if we're too busy for God, bottom line is, we're too busy. And as it gets older, this solution hardens until it gets... it acts like a compass, if you like, and it uses it to navigate when it's getting home. And you might think it's a weird thing, but it is. It's like sat nav. But the thing is with this, unlike your sat nav, if the eagle is flying off course, it gets a bit of a pain. like a low level, not agony, but you get twinges and pains, like, you know, to warn it that it's going off course. You can find some amazing things out there, these scientists. How they know, I don't know. But they get that, this low level pain, and on us, when we're flying off course, when we're not moving in the kingdom as we should be, we get convicted, don't we? Our conscience in the early stages tells us when we're not doing right. The Holy Spirit is there to, you know, to guide us and to lead us into truth and to set us free. And as this eagle gets this low level pain, we too know when we're not actually doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we need to take notice of what's happening. So our eagle's got its eye fixed on its target. Notice how the eagle's looking for prey that's alive. It's not looking for something that's dead. It's looking for something that's got some life in it. Eagles don't usually eat dead meat. Eagles catch prey that's running around. The big bird that eats the dead meat is the vulture. And that only eats things like lions have killed. We've seen them on the savannas, haven't we, where the lions have killed, and after the lions have eaten and had what they want, the vultures come and they have the leftovers. They just get the dregs. But one of the things with the vultures, if they eat too much, they get full of all these toxins from eating dead meat, and then they can't fly. And if they can't fly, they then become prey, because they can't get away, and then they get eaten. So we need to make sure that we're eagles and that we get living food. Not too much time in front of telly, not much too time reading junk, not much time involving our own stuff in this. Like I said before, I could read for England, I read loads, but if I don't spend time in this, if I'm doing any other way, even if I'm listening to tapes, I'm not eating, listening, I'm not actually feeding on new bread. If I listen to this tape, what I'm saying now, in 12 months' time, it's not new bread. It might still bless me, but it's not new bread. By 12 months' time, I'm hoping God's telling me something else. I'm hoping I've grown. So we need to feed on the living bread, not leftovers. However, and I like this, I found out where the word spread eagles might come from. If an eagle gets ill because it's eaten some rubbish or because of any other circumstances, what it'll do, and again, think about this in relation to our Christian lives, it flies to a high rock. And it lies, spread eagle, in the sun, and the sun draws out all the toxins and all the rubbish from its body until it recovers. So, if you've got some junk in your life, whatever it is, you need to get on your face before God. Spread eagle before God. Not necessarily physically laying flat on your stomach, but you need to get before God and let God get the junk out of your life. And that junk's different things to different people. The last few weeks, the biggest piece of junk's been my health. Because the thing that was causing me all the problems was the tonsillitis. That was my problem. And I needed God to get rid of that for me. You might say, well, it took a long time. Well, got no better to do, have I? I was at home, I was spending time in the Word. I might not have been at work, but I was still alive. And I could still enjoy my life. In some respects, it would have been a blessing not being at work, because I've had no stress of the job. They pulled an Ofsted inspection while I was off. I missed that. That's my thoughts exactly. That is a very high pressure situation for teachers today. And I was ill. I wasn't there. Who knows? God may even have allowed it to happen to free me from that stress. We don't know. And we don't particularly need to know, provided that we're where we should be. The junk for your life could be unbelief. It could be lethargy. Could be laziness. Anything at all that's hindering your relationship with God is the junk that's in your life that needs to be drawn out. So Sometimes we want the celebration, we want the praise, we want the glory, we want the worship, we want the blessings from God, but we're not prepared to get the junk out of our lives, and we have to get the junk out so that we can get the good stuff in. To soar like the eagle, we need to be able to soar like the eagle. If we're not well, if we're not seeking his face, if we're not willing to soar, we're not going to get there anyway. And if we're intoxicated with bad stuff, we might end up like the vulture on the ground being prey. Now then, sometimes eagles are put in zoos, and if they're put in the zoo and they're not in an open space, if they're put in cages, an eagle changes the way that it behaves. It gets a different mindset, and if you like, it undergoes a personality change. It'll stop oiling its feathers and cleaning itself, and they stop having to, you know, search for prey because they're usually fed there. They get passive, lazy, depressed, and if they're given dead meat to eat, they'll eat it. An eagle was not meant to be put into a cage. Eagles are meant to soar, and they're meant to fly high. We need to keep cleaning ourselves by our reading, our praying, our fellowship, and we need to keep the eagle aggression. We don't give up. We set our eyes on the target. We will soar to great heights. We will worship him. We are going for that as a fellowship. We're going to get into this. We're going to move it. And let's be so determined that, Lord, I'm running after you, even if it kills me. We must go for God ultimately. It's got to be God. God first. So just like the eagle, we're not meant to be put in a cage. We've got to keep ourselves clean. We've got to keep ourselves focused. So we have to make sure that we're not in a cage. What cages have we got? Fear of failure? What people thinking about us? Insecurities? Poor health? Anything that's stopping us from moving forward with God will keep us in cage. Anything that traps us or snares us is our cage. Anything that's keeping us in bondage, if you like, anything that's trapping us is a cage to us. Some birds like budgies and canaries appear to be happy to live in cages. They don't change their character, if you like. They're quite happy, but not eagles. Eagles need to spread the wings. And if you fly high enough, they'll not catch you to put you in a cage anyway. You don't catch eagles at 10,000 feet. You only catch them when they're low down. So if you want to be free, whatever your cage is, my suggestion is you get out of it, you get free. And if you need help to get out of your cage, kick up a fuss. Let's know that you need some help to get out of your cage. Don't passively let things happen to you. Don't let anything keep you away from God. Let's all band together as believers and let's support one another. Ultimately, we need to be independent, but we also need to have a situation where we can support and help each other. No man is an island in this kingdom, and at times we do need each other, even though we need to make sure that we are growing as individuals. We must be strong individually, but we don't have to be totally dependent on ourselves. Ultimately, we're totally dependent on God. But we do have things that we need to be helping each other. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Get yourselves free. Whatever's trapping you, whatever's causing you a problem in your life, get free, break free, and then stay free. Back in Isaiah chapter 40, "Mount up with wings like eagles." How do they mount up so high? How does an eagle get so high in the sky? Well, it sits on a rock. The first thing it does is it sits on the rock. We're back to the rock. It waits for the thermal current, and it stretches out its massive wings, probably 7 or 8 feet across, end to end. And it uses the current to take it higher. Now then, this morning when I was going through this, I was reading Acts chapter 1 and 2, and I nearly put this in. and I didn't, and now I know why I didn't, because somebody else did it. But we need to get the Holy Spirit. We need to avail ourselves of the Holy Spirit, because it's the wind of the Holy Spirit that takes us higher. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. A Christian that tells you that they don't need the Holy Spirit in their lives is fooling themselves. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And if anybody in here is not filled with the Holy Spirit, please speak to somebody. Let us pray with you, and let us make sure that everybody in this fellowship is filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit if we're going to soar. You need to get on the wings of the Holy Spirit and soar to great heights. Jesus told us that we had to do this. He said when he left the earth, he'd send the Holy Spirit. So we need to embrace what God said to us. And if we're saying that we don't need him, I can manage on my own, well, you've been deceived. We do need the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows we can't live without him, and provided him, sent the other comforter on that. Just as salvation is the start, we need to grow, and as we do that, and we get filled with the Holy Spirit day by day, it enables us to rise up on those wings and to soar into the thermals, to soar into God's presence. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that when we don't know what to do, what to say, he's given us other tongues, he's given us a helper, another comforter to draw us into his presence. An eagle's got very few enemies. The main problems that the eagle encounters is the snake and sometimes some small birds. One of these small birds is a crow. You've heard about the old crow, haven't you? The old crow, always out for themselves, scaring everybody else away, selfish, arrogant. But the eagle's got a way of dealing with these little birds, these crows or whatever's harassing it. We know what it does to the snake. It drops it or feeds it to its chicks. But the crow, and we can learn from the crow here, when the crow arrives, and it's annoying the eagle, it's like, I'm putting up with this. So the eagle starts to soar. And it keeps soaring and soaring until it gets to an altitude that the crow or the other bird can't breathe in. So if you've got somebody that's annoying you or something that's annoying you, you need to start, get those wings out on the wings of the Holy Spirit, start to soar, start to praise, start to worship, and eventually you'll find that it's not bothering you anymore, because you get out of that element and you get into a different atmosphere, and you're in an atmosphere of praise and worship, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says or does, because you're close to God. And all the other things just melt away. They cannot survive in that atmosphere. So we're told, aren't we, to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And not only our hearts, but might I suggest that we also need to guide, to be careful what we're looking at, and we also need to be careful what we're saying, because these are all avenues and aspects that can cause us problems if we're not careful. So we need to be aware that our character is sometimes judged by what we say, by what we watch, and we need to be in the right place. Eagles aren't frightened of anything. Eagles aren't frightened of any of these birds. They're not frightened of the snakes. Not a frightened bird. You don't find eagles cowering away in the corner, do you? And when the storms of life come for the eagle, it doesn't rush back to its cage. What an eagle does, he uses that storm. And one of the things we as Christians do is we have a tendency, don't we, to try and, I want out of here. When things start getting difficult, we want to get out. We want a way of escape. Now, we know that Jesus is our way of escape, but sometimes God uses these storms to develop us. We use them to make them stronger, to soar higher. Other animals start running for cover, but the eagle will exploit the current and take full advantage. It doesn't survive the storm. It gets above it. It's an overcomer. It gets above the storm. It uses the storm to its advantage. I thought for a while a bird getting frightened when they were in the storm. I thought about the ostrich burying its head in the sand. Then I thought about the hen. When the hens are in the hen house, in the coop, and the storm comes. They run for cover, don't they? It's raining, we're off here. So they buzz off into the hen house until the storm passes. And then I started laughing about it, because you can see hen, can't you? Scratching away for food in all this muck and rubbish on the barn floor. Scratching for its food in the dirt. When it flies, it can hardly gets off the floor. It flaps its wings like nobody's business, and it only gets a few inches off the floor. It doesn't get very high at all, and kicks up lots and lots of dust and muck. And it spoke to me about works of the flesh. The chicken's quite happy to live in dirt and stir up dust and muck. And sometimes, you know, we can be guilty of that, scratching about for stuff here, there and everywhere, and not actually getting fulfilled by what God's got for us. And sometimes too, the devil gets too much credit. When the storms of life come, we blame him for everything. Well, he's not that smart. And you know, it's easy to say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Sometimes it's because you were daft. Sometimes it was because you just couldn't be bothered to do what you know to do, because you didn't do what you know to do. Sometimes it's a result of just being lack of focus. Sometimes it's our own laziness. And the devil sometimes gets far too much credit. It's easy to say, oh, well, the devil did this. And look what the devil's done here. Well, the devil might not have done it. Sometimes God allows circumstances to build some character in us. And if we just blame the devil for everything and we want to be delivered from this and delivered from that, we're deceiving ourselves. Because it's not a case always of being... There is a place for deliverance, but there's also a place of standing. And until we learn to stand, we're not going to be growing. And we need to keep ourselves fit and up to standard in the, and keep ourselves in good condition. An eagle will oil its feathers so that when it dives into water to catch fish, it's not going to get waterlogged or drown. And we ourselves are given equipment whereby we can be clothed. We're given the armour of God. When we have our prayer meetings on a morning, we cover them every week, but we need to be putting the armour on every single day, with our loins girt with truth, breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with preparation of the gospel of Christ, taking our shield of faith, our helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. It's no good just getting saved and thinking that's it. We need to be fully equipped. And as we were doing it with the Bible studies, we not only need to be wearers of the armour, but we have also got to be armour bearers. We've also got robes of righteousness and garments of praise to wear. We've got everything that we need to move forward. And it's up to us to make sure that we get ourselves sorted out and get everything that we need. We turn to Psalm 103. We're just on the last point now, I think. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We've heard about mounting up with wings like eagles, but we also get our youth renewed like the eagles. So how does an eagle get its youth renewed? It's not like being born again, you know, and you say, well, start from day one, I get saved, so now that means I'm a new creation. It's not that sort of being renewed. When an eagle's been flying around for a number of years, its feathers start getting worn out. And as it's swooping down to catch its prey, it finds that there's a certain whistling in the wind, which warns the prey that it's coming. That's not good news for the eagle. If the prey knows that you're on its way, guess what the prey is going to do? If you think that somebody's coming after you and you can hear them coming, are you going to stand there and let them get you? You're going to get the heck out of there, and that's exactly what the prey would do. So what happens? The feathers start to whistle, so the eagle's not going to be as fast as it were, its talons are not going to be as sharp, its beak's going to be a bit messed up, a bit battered and bruised. So what the eagle does is it soars up onto the rock. These rocks, you see, these eagles, the eagle knows what to do. Get to the rock. It goes to the rock, and the first thing it starts to do, it pulls all its feathers out. Ooh, that's going to hurt. Do you know if you pull a hair out, it's going to hurt? If you don't believe me, just pull one or two out and see. Does anybody need any help? Okay? So if you start pulling your hair out, it's going to hurt. So if this bird's got 7,000 feathers and it's going to start pulling them out, who knows, it's going to be in for a load of pain. Yeah. And sometimes when we want to be renewed, we go through a load of pain and it's not pleasant. And it's easy to decide that, you know, I'm not going through, this is painful, I'm not going through this, I'm not having this, I'm not having this. Just look at this, I'm not doing that. But the eagle's not bothered about the circumstances, the eagle's more bothered about the result of what's going to happen. The eagle knows that this is the way to renew its feathers. If it doesn't get rid of the old stuff, the new stuff's not going to grow. So you get rid of the old stuff if you want some new feathers. If you want to fly, if you want to stop warning the prey that you're coming, if you want to stop whistling in the wind, if you want to be able to be useful and powerful, you get rid of the old stuff and get the new feathers. So it pulls out its old feathers and then it bathes in the stream. It goes into the stream, gets rid of all the parasites. Just like us, bathing in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit again. We bask in the Holy Spirit and get ourselves washed with the blood of Jesus again. Spending time, getting rid of the junk, it creates a spiritual flow in our lives again. And we get quickened in the water. We get refreshed. We get clean. And when the eagle's done this and it's got washed and it's pulled all its feathers out, it goes and sits on that rock. And of course it can't fly there because it ain't got no feathers. Sometimes it can be a bit of a climb from the stream to the highest rock it can get to. And it's a struggle. But it gets there. It gets refreshed and clean and then it basks in the sun. And it stays in the sun until its feathers grow. How long does it take its feathers to grow? You'll be surprised to know it takes about 40 days. About 40 days. 40 days for its feathers to grow back. Sometimes we don't want to wait 40 minutes. We come out for prayer and we, you know, Lord, heal me from this. Thank you, Lord. And go and sit back down. Well, God didn't heal me. Well, he didn't now, did he? Because you've just opened your mouth and stopped it. We have got to stay in there. It might take us 40 days. It might take us 40 years. We are not the person that puts the time limit on God. God knows how long it's going to take. We have got to receive our healing and we don't quit. We wait patiently for the things to manifest themselves in our lives. While it's waiting there for its feathers to grow, it sharpens its talons on the rock, it knocks its beak about a bit, you know, and gets rid of all the debris on that, sharpens itself up so that it's ready to go. We were looking at the number 40. 40 is made up of, in a couple of ways. You can have 5 times 8. 5 speaks about grace, and 8 speaks about new beginnings. And it could be a time of trial, a time of probation, and a time of testing, the end of an old era. But 40 can also be made up by 4 tens, 4 times 10. 4 is a worldly number, which is God plus man. But 10 is an ordinal, speaks of ordinary, an ordinal number and perfection, which relates to a sequence of events, which means that you're going into a bigger kingdom, a new dimension. Amen. And you're going to have your borders enlarged. Amen. So 40 days, 40 minutes, 40 hours, whatever it takes, Lord, we want to get there. If the eagle does nothing about its beak and its talons, it can't feed itself when it's got its new feathers, so ultimately it will die. We've got to make sure that we're equipped in every aspect. And we've got, and my final point is that we need to start using the difficulties to grow. It's easy to complain, we need not to be complaining, but we need to spread our wings and soar into God's presence. And we as a fellowship are going to do just that. We're going to soar into his presence. And I hope that's been an encouragement to you all.